ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। भगवद्गीता एज इट इज चैप्टर टू टेक्स्ट नंबर टू कंटेंट्स ऑफ द गीता समराइज्ड। श्री भगवान उवाच कुतस्त्वा कश्मलमिदा विषमे समुपस्थिता अनारजुस्तम असवर्ग्या अकीर्तिकारम अर्जुना। अर्जुना ओ अर्जुना, ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस, इसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हैड सेड, माय डियर अर्जुना, हाउ हैव दिस इम्प्यूरिटीज कम अपॉन यू? दे आर नॉट एट ऑल बिफिटिंग अ मैन हु नोज द वैल्यू ऑफ लाइफ। दे लीड नॉट टू हायर प्लैनेट्स बट टू इनफॉर्मिंग पर्पोर्ट। Krishna and the Supreme Personality of Godhead are identical. Therefore, Lord Krishna is referred to as Bhagavan throughout the Gita. Bhagavan is the ultimate in the absolute truth. Absolute truth is realized in three phases of understanding, namely Brahman or the impersonal all-pervasive spirit, Paramatma or the localized aspect of the Supreme within the heart of all living entities, and Bhagavan or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, this conception of the absolute truth is explained. Vadanti tattva vidas tattvam yajnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdate. The absolute truth is realized in three phases of understanding, but the knower of the absolute truth, and all of them are identical. Such phases of the absolute truth are expressed as Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. Om ajnanati mirandasya gyananjana shalakaya चक्षुरुन्मिलितमेन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। सो एज द फर्स्ट चैप्टर इज कंक्लूडेड एंड संजय प्रेजेंट्स हिज परसेप्शन, ही टेल्स धृतराष्ट्र तम तथा कृपया आविष्टम अश्रुपूर्ण कुलेक्षणम, बट द नोवर ऑफ द एब्सोल्यूट ट्रुथ एंड ऑल ऑफ देम आर आइडेंटिकल। सच फेजेस ऑफ द एब्सोल्यूट ट्रुथ आर एक्सप्रेस्ड एज ब्रह्मान, परमात्मा एंड भगवान। ओम अज्ञानतिमिरंदस्य ज्ञानांजनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मिलितमेन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। सो द फर्स्ट चैप्टर इज कंक्लूडेड एंड संजय प्रेजेंट्स हिज परसेप्शन, ही टेल्स धृतराष्ट्र तम तथा कृपया आविष्टम अश्रुपूर्ण कुलेक्षणम विशदंत इदं वाक्य उवाच मधुसूदन। नाउ संजय इज सीइंग दिस होल फिनोमेना एज एम्पावर्ड बाय व्यासदेव। ही वाज एबल टू सी, ही वाज एबल टू हियर, ही वाज एबल टू अंडरस्टैंड द बैकग्राउंड, द प्रेजेंट एंड द फ्यूचर आल्सो। बट स्टिल संजय's परसेप्शन इज नॉट एग्रीड अपॉन बाय लॉर्ड कृष्णा। Now Sanjay says that because of compassion, tantata krupaya avishtam. Krupaya avishtam means compassion entered into Arjuna's consciousness, and therefore Arjuna, seeing Arjuna full of tears, Krishna started speaking. That is Arjuna, Sanjay is saying. Now what does Krishna say? Now Krishna doesn't consider that to be compassion. Krishna says kutastva kashmalamidam. What Sanjay calls as compassion, Krishna calls as dirt. Very interesting. Krishna is calling that is a dirt, dirty thing. And next verse Krishna continues. First time the Lord is speaking and making it very clear that I don't at all approve it, I don't appreciate it. Next word the Lord says, Klaibhyam Masmagamam Partha. Klaibhyam is a word used for eunuchs. Someone calling Hijda. Literally the word Klaibhyam means, just see, Arjuna is a great warrior. Krishna could have said, oh very good, you are so compassionate. But the Lord is saying, Klaibhyam Masmagamam Partha. He said, this does not befit a Kshatriya. And in the same verse, in the second verse, the Lord is saying that Anaryam Justam Asavargam Akirtikaram Arjuna. Three things Lord explains. One is his responsibility as Aryan. Second, Akirti, when you do not fulfill responsibility in this world, brings infamy. And in the next world, Asavargyam, it does not give higher planets. This is called as Vedic culture. You talk about the present, you talk about the consequences, and you talk about the future destination also. Therefore, as we were discussing last time, anyone who does not see the present, the consequences, and the future destination is called as an atheist or animalistic. Therefore, asking this question, who cares for the future? That is a sign of atheism. One can be aggressive atheistic or one can be passive atheistic. But here Krishna, in one word, just see, that is called the language of Sanskrit. There is the present, Anaryam, that you are not performing your responsibility, or Kirtim. What is the consequences of that? It will not give you fame, it will bring infamy, and Asavargyam, that my dear Arjuna, that will not lead you to higher planetary system, rather you go down. That is how Krishna is telling Arjuna. Complete difference in perception. And if you read the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, now this chapter is called as Arjuna Vishada Yoga. Or Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains observing the army. Arjuna wanted to see. He said, Senayor Ubhayar Madhe Ratam Stape Machita Yavad Etad Niriksham Yuddha Kama Navastita. He said, my dear Lord, I want to see who has come to fight. One devotee said that what you have to see. What you are saying you will do. Krishna said, I will see. When I see, and Bhishmadev explains in the Bhagavatam in the first canto, when the Lord came along with Arjuna on the battlefield, he said his glance, the Lord's glance, was extracting the life force of all the soldiers. That is seeing. Krishna's seeing was so powerful because all these soldiers were there because they had gathered to fight a battle. And the whole purpose of Lord coming in this material world is paritranayanam, paritranaya sadhunam, vinashaya chudishkritam. Protecting the sadhus and destroying all the demons. And how does the Lord do it? Simply by glance. Bhishma Dev says this. He said, when you came on the battlefield simply by your glance, you are actually taking away the life of people. Now let us consider Arjuna's lamentation also. Arjuna is lamenting. Arjuna is depressed. Now just see, Arjuna's depression also has a logic. Arjuna's depression, Arjuna's anxiety, and consequently the presentation of his logic to Krishna is absolutely scientific and it calls upon appreciation. Therefore, Sanjay is glorifying it. But from Krishna's point of view, from the higher point of view, Krishna is finding that Arjuna is wrong. If you go back to the first chapter and see, Arjuna explains that his compassion, his lamentation was caused by compassion. Prabhupada talks about this. That is a sign of a pure devotee. Arjuna told Krishna, my dear Lord, that I am not going to fight this battle because I only see lamentation and I only see no bright future. First, Arjuna was thinking from his own point of view. He said, I don't want to fight because it will not bring any pleasure to anybody. How can I enjoy? The whole wealth what we will acquire will be tainted by blood. Just like in the Bhagavatam, when Krishna and Krishna's coward friend went to the forest of Talavan, and the Dhenukasura demon, he challenged them. He would not allow Krishna to come and eat fruits. What a fortunate ass he was, but still he was an ass. Krishna came without asking. He says, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam, you offer me. But Krishna came to his garden without being invited. The Lord coming to your house without being invited will collapse and unconscious. We chant so many mantras and one small mistake, whole offering is rejected. In Jagannath Puri it happens. Small mistake, you cannot offer it to the Lord. And here Krishna is coming to his garden and he rejected Krishna. Dhenukasura. So, after killing all the demons, our acharyas explain, the Lord did not partake of the fruits. They did not eat the fruits because the fruits were contaminated with blood of the demons. It was uneatable, cannot eat. What to speak of eating meat? A fruit which is contaminated with little blood was not eatable. What to speak of eating blood in the form of meat? Makes sense. So here Krishna, Arjuna is telling, my dear Lord, I cannot enjoy because this whole opulence will be tainted by blood. I cannot enjoy. And then Arjuna explains, he talks about others. Prabhupada explains, he was very much concerned about his own army, now he is concerned about the other army also, the opposing army. To such an extent, see Arjuna's determination, his compassion, his sign of detachment, his sign of indifference about his own self. Who can exhibit? People are so much glorify the aspect of Lord Jesus saying, if somebody slaps you on one of your face, turn other side of your cheek. But this was spoken by Arjuna much before. We discussed last time, Bhagavad Gita was spoken 3067 BC, November 22nd. Exact dates are there. So what does Arjuna say? He says, my dear Lord, even if they attack me with all weapons. Now what kind of weapons? Karna is there, Dronacharya is there, Bhishma is there. It is not a slap of a small baby. It is not even a slap. One weapon of Bhishma, Drona, Ashwatthama had a Narayana Astra. It could wipe out the entire army. And Arjuna was well aware of this. But he said, even if they come with all of their weapons to attack me, na hantum ichami, I will not attack them. I will not attack them. That was his determination. And he said, my dear Lord, then Arjuna speaks about wealth of this world. He said, what is the wealth of this world? He said, I don't care for the wealth of this. And what to speak of caring for wealth of this world? He said, even if someone offers me api trailokya rajasam, even if they offer me the wealth of the three planetary system, trailokya, patala, earthly and heavenly planets. And Arjuna was capable, he was not simply speaking similes or allegory or fantastic description. He had proved, he had gone to the heavenly planets, sat next to Indra, shared his asana. Indra never gives his asana to anybody. Rather, even if people are so far away from him doing tapasya in the Himalayan, his chair starts shaking. But Indra shared his throne with Arjuna. Arjuna sat with him. And what Indra could not destroy, the Nivata Kavachas, the demons, Arjuna destroyed. What heavenly planets, nobody can tolerate the temptation like Urvashi. Many, many sages fell down. But Arjuna had the power to resist her temptation. He said, no, I treat you as mother. I never saw you as anybody other than my mother. And Indra said, what? He said, many great sages fell to her beauty. He said, you could not. That was the power of Arjuna. So when he says, api trailokya rajasam, it is not simply words. He said he had the power to conquer the three worlds. Lord Shiva, Shivaratri is coming. He actually impressed Lord Shiva. Now Lord Shiva is the destructive energy of the Lord, Prahlad says in the 7th canto of the Bhagavad. Kopakala yugante, at the time of destruction, Lord Shiva appears as the anger of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and creates entire planetary system dissolution. And you can imagine Lord Shiva is fighting with full force with Arjuna, and Arjuna could actually impressed Lord Shiva, created an influence over Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva gave his Pashupatastra, his own weapon to Arjuna. That was the power of Arjuna. Therefore, when Arjuna says, I don't want even Trailokya Rajasam. Just like somebody sent a joke. You know, the communist or the socialist, they talk about serving people. A reporter asked them, you know, what if you have two cars? Will you give one car? He said, of course I'll give one car to my neighbor or my anyone who requires it. What if you have these two? He said, I'll give. And they asked him, what about if you have two cows? Will you give one? He said, no, because I got two cows. When you don't have anything, it's much easier to say, I will give this much. Many times, even naive, simple devotees, they say, if I could have the wealth of Ambani, you know, I can build so many temples. But it never happens like that. Even if you have 1 rupee, you can give 4 anna to Krishna. He's happy with that. You don't have to assume, if I have this much, I can do this much. Usually, it doesn't happen. Those who have whatever they have, they share their wealth to Krishna. You don't have to wait for the future. If I have this much, I can give. Because there is no limit how much more you want. So here Arjuna's case is not like that. He has proved it. And therefore Arjuna says, Api Trailokya Rajasam. Even if I got 3 worlds, if I get for fighting, he said, still I will not accept. I do not want to fight. Renunciation is there. Determination is there. And freedom from the attachment to body is there. Freedom from attachment to body. Anyone who comes to attacks, for a Kshatriya especially, you know, we become very defensive. And Arjuna said, no, I don't want. And the fourth one is, Arjuna explains that therefore he doesn't want to fight. Another principle Arjuna is speaking, just like Krishna able to see the present, the consequence, and the future destination, similarly, Arjuna sees in his depressed condition. When we suffer in this world, then people usually tend to think that who cares for the future? The agnostic means he does not believe in the future. Even the impersonalist, in the Bhagavad Gita we will read in the 4th chapter, Vitaraga Bhaya Krodha, Manmaya Mamupashruta, Baho Jnana Tapasa Puta Madhubhavagamagata. In there, Prabhupada explains that why impersonalists do not want future. They are scared of activity. Activity means relationship. Relationship means sometimes there is fear of breaking of relationship. Therefore, people can take any job, but not the job of dealing with people. Teacher's job, we see. Why there are less people to become teacher? Because you have to deal with people, do thankless tasks. There is no pleasure in that. Even if you pay money, teacher's job is no paid, according to Vedic scripture. Even if you pay money, still people don't want to become teachers. Because you have to interact with people, relate with children. And very troublesome. Very troublesome. So therefore, here Arjuna is saying, Prabhupada explains, relationship means fearful. Just like somebody is suffering from a problem, of a stomach problem, and the doctor tells him, like Radhanath Swami Maharaj used to give an example of a big rich man, that he had a trouble in his kidney. And he could only drink barley water. Because if he would eat something, you know, the fear of passing urine and stool would be so painful. Therefore, any good food, pizza or anything, would cause nightmare to him. He said, how can I eat it? Here the taste is there, but when it starts going down, he knew the power of its pain-producing power. So therefore, he said, you could never eat. So similarly, a diseased person who is suffering from diarrhea, any food you bring to him, he is deadly scared. He can only drink some water. Because of the relationship. So similarly, here Arjuna, you know, is fearing that if I fight, many people will die now, and I have to becomes sinful, and the consequences of that, he talks about the present, he talks about the consequences, and the presentation of Arjuna in the first chapter about the culture is very brilliant, very interesting. Even in his depressed condition, in depressed condition you cannot expect any enlightenment. You can't. What to speak of person who is depressed giving enlightenment, when you have a depressed people around you can't speak anything to them. Even the speaker, even the person who wants to speak something, he doesn't have the response. Like many devotees say, when you are giving a lecture, if the audience is responding, then the speaker becomes more interactive, more interesting. He becomes very enthusiastic. Just like playing in a home ground cricket. No? When you have a home ground, cheering crowd, it's much easier to play. Similarly, speaking is also like that. Therefore, Suta Goswami glorified the Shaunakadi Rishis. Munayo Sadhu Prostham Bhavadbir Loka Mangalam. Your questions are so just. They bring auspiciousness to everybody. I'm inspired to speak because you are such a good audience. Similarly, Arjuna in his depressed condition, what does he bring out? He brings out such a powerful logic. Bring us powerful logic. The present consequences, the future consequences, and the consequences of the whole culture. Just see, that is called as considerate person. Nowadays, we see the modern system is that you only care for yourself. You don't care for others. You destroy the ozone layer. You destroy the farm. You pouring all kind of chemical things without thinking about the future. But Arjuna in his depressed condition, he talks about the culture. How does he say? He said, "My Lord, if I fight this battle, all the warriors will be killed. Once all the warriors are killed, then there will be no one to protect the women. When women are not protected, then unscrupulous men will exploit them. When there is exploitation by the unscrupulous men, there will be unwanted progeny. And when there is unwanted progeny, that will lead to no offering of pinda to the four fathers. When there is no pinda offering to the four fathers, their destination will be very bleak and very dangerous." Just see the logic. Arjuna, even in his depressed condition, he can see. Therefore, he is qualified to be a king. Or the brother of a king like Yudhishthira Maharaj. A battle, especially when you fight, these boxers and others, they fight, you know, they don't see any consequences. They only see money. Victory or loss, money comes. Only people who lose the money is those who watch it. Others, everybody makes money. So your Arjuna is seeing such a logic. Therefore, Prabhupada, and one time he appreciated Arjuna's compassion, and sometime, based upon Krishna's perception, he chastises Arjuna. And therefore, Prabhupada explains, compassion for a drowning man's dress is ridiculous. If somebody is drowning, you know, it's help, help. Somebody says, "Help! You know, my friend is drowning. If you go," the devotees would do drama of this theme. And some big social server who wants to help, he jumps into the water. And he grabs, "I saved him, I saved him." He said, "No, you didn't save, you only brought his coat. He already drowned in the water. He is no more living." So therefore, Arjuna requires everybody's appreciation for his detachment, for his determination, for his non-temptation, not being tempted by anybody, and plus the ability to see the present, the consequences, and the future destination. That is called a person who believes in the whole culture of theism. Believing in God, we discussed that also, is not simply coming and offering some puja. Sometimes people offer puja. They do it because their forefathers, their grandparents were doing it. But absolutely have no faith in that. They said, "We are doing it because the tradition has to continue. It is not at all scientific." And Arjuna is talking about offering pinda to the forefather, performing Shraddha ceremony. Because it's our we are indebted to them. Shastra explains that one is indebted to the sages, therefore one has to practice celibacy or chastity. There are three things. Why somebody practices celibacy and chastity? Because they are indebted to our forefathers, rishis, the great sages, for giving us all the Vedic literature, proper knowledge. And one has to procreate proper progeny, and by doing that one is indebted to the forefathers. And one performs yajnas to the demigods and exhibit their indebtedness to the demigods. These are the department of municipality, paying taxes to them, by showing our gratitude by this kind of activity. And when you deny them, just see, when a human being denies these things, that is the difference between the modern materialistic culture and Vedic culture. Arjuna is able to see in his depression, what to speak of in his enlightened stage. Unlike Duryodhan, it is explained that Duryodhan could not see future. Dhritarashtra could not see the future. Even though indications were very clear, when he was born, he brayed like an ass. And Vidur immediately said, because Vidur is in the line of the Pandavas, not in the party of Pandavas, but has the same perception. He told, my dear Dhritarashtra, immediately abandon this child. Not abort, but abandon this child. Throw him away. One may say, what is the difference between killing and abandoning? You can't kill the baby, because he is supposed to come. Therefore he came, he brayed like an ass. But Vidura's logic was, if you reject him, if he stays in Hastinapur as the son of a king, the damage he will create is too much. As somebody is higher in the social order, when he does something wrong, it creates a greater damage. Therefore Krishna says, yad yad acharit shrestas tat tat evetirojana. When you are a leader, if you do good, it is more beneficial. If you do bad, it is more damage. So similarly, if Duryodhan stays with the Kauravas, the damage what he will cause the destruction of the entire Kuru race. But if he goes and stays with some low class people, where their influence is only to their town or their village or some neighboring houses, how big can he become? How more damage can he do? That was the point Vidura was mentioning. But Dhritarashtra would not listen. It is explained in Mahabharata, Duryodhan had taken advance taxes from his people. He is a typical politician of this age. Now Shastra explains, when you take taxes from people, they should not even come to know that you have taken taxes. And all the tax what you receive from your people, you have to give it back to them. Without taking any credits that I am doing it. You take taxes in such a way that they don't come to know. But when you give back to them, they should not come to know that it is the liberal behavior of a king. But Duryodhan had no such quality. So therefore, Vidura, anticipating the future, had warned Dhritarashtra again and again, many times. But Dhritarashtra would not agree. In the middle of the battlefield, just see, even in the middle of the battlefield, Duryodhan was given chance. Ashwatthama was fighting for Duryodhan. He tells Duryodhan, now also, after the death of Karna, now also, if you go to Yudhishthira Maharaj, he will actually stop the battle. That was the behavior of the Pandavas. But he would not. And in the middle, Dhritarashtra asked Vidura, I think, or Sanjay. He said, can you do something? And Sanjay told sarcastically, my dear brother, my dear master, you are like a person whose house is burning and you are about to, make a well. You are trying to excavate a well. That is your situation. House is burning. Or abhi kuwa khodo. This is the verse in the Bhagavata, in the Mahabharata. Or there is water is flowing and you want to build a bridge now. He said, it is too late now. Destruction is guaranteed for you. But the Pandavas, Arjuna is not like that. Anyone who sees Arjuna's ability, we glorify Mahatma Gandhi. People glorify that. He is glorious for his lifestyle. But his philosophy, what he took from Arjuna, has been condemned by Krishna. Ahimsa, Paramo Dharma, at all stages, is not accepted by Krishna. He says that is Klaibyam, that is eunuch. Anaryam, that is not civilized behavior. And therefore Prabhupada explains that fighting or no fighting, performing duty is important. Fighting or no fighting, is fighting is not important, not fighting is not important. What is important is that performing your responsible duty. When you make something, a relative philosophy as a paramo dharma, that causes greatest destruction of the civilization. And that's what Krishna is condemning. Arjuna, presenting nicely, Sanjay is glorifying, but Krishna condemns it. Why? Because the Lord sees from much, much, much higher point of view. Now if Arjuna can see the present, the consequence in the future, and Krishna still does not accept it. He says that is a bodily concept of life, Arjuna. You are not seeing from the whole picture point of view. You are a Kshatriya and you have been trained for so many years. You have been guided by me. You are Nara. I am Narayan. That is our responsibility to establish Dharma. And when the time you are supposed to establish your Dharma, you are talking all this nonsense philosophy. The philosophy is right, but there that philosophy does not work. Prabhupada explains, a king should be saintly but not cowardly. He cannot be cowardice. So just see how Krishna, that is the first thing he speaks. First two verses the Lord speaks and again Arjuna will speak. He said, Kutastva. He said, where upon such impurities have come upon you? Where did you get it? Anaryam. And the word Aryan. Aryan means not according to what the British Indologists said. What we studied in the history books. Indo-Aryan civilization coming from some European country. The Dravidians were the original residents of this place. Aryans came, they invaded, chased them to some other part of India. And in this way, the Aryan and the Dravidians had the constant struggle. The Dravidians worshipped Lord Shiva. Aryans worshipped Vishnu. Before they worshipped Agni, then they came to Vishnu's worship. And in this way, there is a constant struggle between the Dravidians and the Aryans. And that's what the South Indians also sometimes believe. The word Aryan has nothing to do with the wrong history presented by the Britishers, which we studied in our school also. The word Arya means, if you go to any scripture, the word Arya means one who is advanced in civilization. That is the definition of Arya. Just like in the first cant of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Parikshit Maharaj put that snake in the neck of Shamika Rishi, because he was thirsty, and Shamika Rishi did not respond. And when Parikshit Maharaj is going back, Parikshit Maharaj starts feeling, what did I do? And he explains that Anarya Vritta Kritim, Anarya Vritta Kritim, he said, I perform the act which is not performed by the civilized people. Anarya means low class behavior I have exhibited. What? Niragasa Sadhu. Niragasa means who have no sin. He is totally innocent and I behaved like this. If you read in Prabhupada's books, he never says Aryan means those who come from the Indo-European, you know, chunk of civilization. He never mentions that. That's the wrong philosophy. As a South, it is explained in the Ramayana. Now if, when Ramayana was going on, Ramayana serial was going on, we remember one time, Radha Gopinath Prabhu, this was in 90s. Before that, much before Mahabharata. When Ramayana was going on, there was a court case, you know, filed by some people in South India, saying that why Ravan is presented as a villain. Ravan is a Dravidian and Ram is Aryan, but here we are showing that Ravan is a Khalanayak and Ram is hero. They said, we cannot accept it. It is against our understanding. They went to the court also. And if you ask Ravan himself, which he did not study, People just read something from here and there, but do not read the background, do not read the whole thing. Just pick up something and make their commentary. If you read Ramayana, Vibhishan and Ravana are meeting together. Now Vibhishan is telling Ravan. He said, "My dear Ravan, you are trying to lick a sword. It's a sword, but it is covered with honey. What will happen if you try to lick a sword which is covered with honey? Honey will be there, but before you even experience the taste of honey, your tongue will be cut into two." So Vibhishan chastises Ravan, and his son, who is Anaryan, he says, "You know, why you talk so foolishly? I can capture anybody. Who is this Ram and Lakshman? They are no big deal for me." And Vibhishan chastises him also. He said, "You foolish child, why are you talking so stupidly?" Vibhishan was the only one person who did not accept the talks of Ravan. Usually Ravan would decide everything and he would call all ministers. "What do you think about this? Already decided." And the ministers, because they were all, you know, had controlled by Ravan, he would say, "Yeah, I think it's a good idea." But Vibhishan was the only one who could actually speak the truth. When Vibhishan spoke all the truth, Ravan became so angry. And he said, "You Anaryan." Ravan condemns Vibhishan, calling that you are Anaryan. "I am an Aryan." Now Ravan is saying Aryan, then how can a South Indian say he's a Dravidian? In the Ramayana it is said that "I am Aryan, that your action is not good for us, it is un-Aryan." Ravan was a Brahmana. He was born in a Brahman family. Brahman means Aryan again. Even if you take from a caste point of view, even though he did not practice anything Brahmanical, but still, even if you take from the caste point of view, even if you take from Ravan's point of view, he says he is Aryan. Even though he was not Aryan by behavior and practice. And he was condemning Vibhishan as un-Aryan. And he comes down from his throne and kicks Vibhishan with his left foot. That is a sign of un-Aryan, uncivilized behavior. Even though he is calling himself as Aryan, this is the beginning of the Brahmana calling that I am a Brahmana by caste only. Begins from whom? Ravan, he is the guru. So any Brahmana or any Kshatriya or any Vaishya or any Shudra for that matter, when they identify themselves on the concept of their caste, there is a false ego. There is a false ego of thinking that I am lower. That is also false ego. And there is a false ego of thinking that I am superior. One is an inferior false ego and one is superior false ego. But both false ego are false egos. So here Ravan, he comes down and kicks Vibhishan. And Vibhishan, seeing that, he goes and takes shelter of the real Aryan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Ram. He surrenders unto him. So here Prabhupada explains, Aryan means one who is advanced in civilization. And who is un-Aryan? That is the definition. Or who is Shudra? He said, Shudra means one who laments unnecessarily. There is no reason to lament, but he will lament. And that is Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, you have all the resources, all the facilities, all the advancement in technology. But what do you find? More patients of psychiatric in nature. Mental disorder. Why? Because the tendency to lament is so much. You have something, you lament. I tell this to our children in the school. Our children in our Gopal Garden school. You know, they come from good families. Even if they don't come from good families, they are in good school, supported by very good devotees. So there is nothing for them to lament. So much of facilities there. If you see, like one devotee would always say, he always says, if somebody asks him, "How are you doing?" "Better than I deserve." And sometimes children say, "How are you?" "Miserable." Just see, the parents are providing everything. The talk itself, miserable, it shows that such a negative consciousness, that is atheism. That is nastikta. Nastikta begins with from what? No. 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 Astikta begins where? Yes. Yes, yes. My life is good. I am joyful. Even in difficulty, there is a facility to become happy. That is Pandavas. And what is Kauravas? Just see, Duryodhan has become a king, ruling the kingdom, but is always worrying what the Pandavas doing in the forest. Let's see. Therefore he sends spies, you go and see what they are doing in the forest. So they are in the forest. What is there in the forest? There is nothing in the forest. Dense forest. They had no place to sleep. They had to sleep underneath the tree like sadhus. But still he is chasing the Pandavas. Just keep an eye what they are doing. And because their karma was so great, the devotion was so great, even if they would go to the forest, how does Yudhishthira see it? Yudhishthira tells the other Pandavas, if I was the king, I would have never got a chance to go to the holy places. Said, I have a chance now going to all the different Tirthas. In those times, Tirthas were situated in the forest, either the temples or the holy lakes. He said, for 12 years we have opportunity to go around all the holy places. That is called as positive outlook. And Duryodhan is the king, Dhritarashtra is the king, and he tells Vidura, I can't sleep. And Vidura says, how can you sleep? Because you lament when you have, you hanker when you don't have, and you fear of losing it when you have it. Your condition is like that. You lamented when you didn't have the kingship. You are fearing that you may lose it, and you are lamenting. So in this way, your life is full of these three negativity, and the life of the Pandavas is full of positivity. So therefore, Krishna is quite surprised, and Prabhupada concludes in the purport, very systematically, he says that such deviation from duty does not help one in the non-Aryans. Progress of spiritual life. Nor does it even give unto the opportunity to become famous in this world. Lord Krishna did not approve of the so-called compassion of Arjuna for his kinsman. But at the same time, even though it is not approved, Arjuna's behavior at that point of time, Prabhupada also appreciates Arjuna. He said, this compassionate nature, no bodily concept of life, is what makes him a bona fide candidate, a qualified candidate to hear Bhagavad Gita. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur or Baldev Vidyabhushan explains that an animal killer, a cruel person, cannot understand the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. Only person like Arjuna can understand. Why? Because he has the compassionate heart. Who can be more compassionate than Arjuna, willing to lay down his life when others are attacking? At least we will do some kind of defensive measures. And Arjuna is saying, I will not do any defensive measure. And just imagine, he raised the weapon and fought against the Kurus. That shows it was not a mundane battle. It was not the battle of cats and dogs fighting. It is not the battle of the terrorists attacking. Only a compassionate soul like Arjuna can raise the weapon, and therefore Karna, who is a demon on the other side, he told Krishna, my dear Lord, very interesting point he mentions. He said, this battle is not a battle. Who is saying it? Karna is saying it. This battle is not battle, this is a yajna. And my dear Lord, you are the main priest. And Yudhishthira is a yajaman. He is arranging. And we are all, the army of the Kurus is the ghee which will go into the fire. And Arjuna is the chief priest. What is he going to do? He is going to put all the fire into the ghee into the fire, and they will all be destroyed. The whole Kurukshetra field is the Yajna Kund. This is how even the other party is seeing. Other party. So similarly, when we read the Bhagavad Gita, that is Yajna itself. And we can understand, so many lights can be thrown into every verse of the Bhagavad Gita, every word of the Bhagavad Gita, seeing from a different perspective, and relish Bhagavad Gita, enjoy Bhagavad Gita. And therefore Krishna explains ultimately to Arjuna that anyone who studies Bhagavad Gita He is worshipping with his intelligence. So rather than contaminating our intelligence, when we study Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, brilliant points, brilliant analysis, brilliant perception, seeing from so many different ways, then just like Arjuna's moha was dispelled, nasto moha smritir labdva, tot prasadad mayachuta. By your mercy, my dear Lord, all my confusion has gone, now I am going to fight. I am going to do as you tell me to do. And then Arjuna starts fighting. Therefore, just see, Arjuna killing people is not at all mundane. Somebody asked Srila Prabhupada, he was in the Western world. Prabhupada said, how can you kill animals? How can you open slaughterhouses and kill animals? And this man said, oh Swamiji, you are teaching Bhagavad Gita, so many men were killed on the battlefield. And Prabhupada said, these animals are innocent and cannot have the facility to defend. And you are killing them. And I said, the battle of Kurukshetra is not that Arjuna is killing people who are defenseless. They had the power to defend themselves. And what are the consequences of that battle? The consequence of that battle, Arjuna fighting, Uddhava says in the Bhagavatam, he says, Arjuna shooting arrows at his enemy was like a surgery. If any one of us, we go to a surgical ward, when we are not a doctor, and we have allergy to see blood, even sometimes people don't kill mosquito, because they are allergic to see blood. They faint by seeing blood. If you go to a surgical ward, you know, when you are seeing a bypass surgery, you know, when they are cut through the heart, it's not that the milk comes out from there. The blood only comes out. It's very painful. After the surgery is done, some of our devotees who have gone through the surgery, our Shikshastakam Prabhu was saying, he went through that surgery. It was so painful, sometimes you feel that you have to jump out from the window of the hospital and commit suicide. Because it's extremely painful. You can't blame the doctor for doing that. There is violence, there is pain. After effect of the surgery is so painful, while performing surgery it is so painful. You can't blame the doctor. Just see, you know, you are so violent. Ahimsa is the greatest religion. Why are you doing like this? You don't blame. Because you know the benefit of such surgery. Similarly, when Arjuna was shooting arrows at the Kurus, eventually he does that. Now, his killing of people was like that surgery only, Uddhava says. And what was that surgery? He was taking all out their contamination. He is taking out their contamination and simply maintaining their pure appreciation for Krishna, driving the chariot of Arjuna. What a benefit. This is Bhagavad Gita. The picture, the front picture should actually bring tears in our eyes. The Lord Supreme is driving the chariot of His devotee. That is sufficient to understand the whole purport of Bhagavad Gita. But because we don't understand, the whole purport is like a sketch. The sketch for that picture. When we go through that sketch of purport, then we actually appreciate the front page of the Bhagavad Gita. And we cry tears like that Brahmana did in Lord Chaitanya's pastime. When you read Bhagavad Gita, I would cry. Mahaprabhu asked him, why are you crying? He said, what else can I do? When I think of reading Bhagavad Gita, when I read verses, I don't know how to read, but I try to read. But whenever I read, what do I see? I see Krishna, the Supreme Lord, is performing such a menial task for his devotees. Senayaru Boramade, take my chariot, and the Lord is there to take. So when I see that, he said, tears come from my eyes. So there is sweetness in the Bhagavad Gita, there is valor in Bhagavad Gita, and there is a philosophy in Bhagavad Gita, which will show us Krishna driving the chariot of Arjuna on the field of battlefield, on the field of Kurukshetra. And this picture is the sign of auspiciousness. Not according to some stupid vastu people saying that that is a sign of inauspicious. Some people say that keeping this picture in your house will cause battle. As if those who don't keep, they don't go to court. How many people don't go to court? Just see, something which is so auspicious, that scene that Brahmana is seeing and Mahaprabhu is approving it. He said, you are the real student of Bhagavad Gita. And some people say, no, you cannot keep it. When you bring adharma in the name of dharma, that is very dangerous. And that's what Arjuna did. Arjuna brought some concept of dharma and he denied to fight. And immediately Krishna said, Kutastva Kashmalamidam, Klaibhyam Masmagamam Partha. He rejected Arjuna's compassion as foolish and stupid. And then Arjuna will continue speaking, but he'll be more bewildered. And now Krishna will smile. He'll smile, and with that smile will come the spicy words of the Lord. And we will go through this part of the Bhagavad Gita also. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Vijay, you mentioned the point of making relationship while one is as a teacher. So, in the course, as a devotee also, when we are teacher, we make relationships. But the point is, we have to take some disciplinary actions. And we are taught to be humble. And disciplinary action means there is some amount of anger or some amount of disappointment involved into it. That was one part of the question. The other part of the question goes like, no. How to have that proper relationships? It's not only like knowing the names and smiling. It's something more than that.
Yeah. Therefore, in the present world, people glue to their computers, their video games, because you can control them, and the dogs also. A dog will not fight back. It will bark, but then ultimately, once you feed him, he keeps quiet. So you become the master of your jukebox, your computer, In the civilized world, a relationship means there is a responsibility. When you relate with others, you can't use them as a machine. The children cannot use parents as a machine, and my parents cannot use the children as a machine, friend cannot use as a machine. Object of my sense gratification. When that principle is there, then the relationship will not sustain. And with that expectation, when we try to establish our relationship, there is a frustration. When there is a frustration, enough with people. Let me focus with dogs. Or let me focus with some machine. We see in the Western world, which is coming in India also, one person sitting in his big house, huge screen, watching a television, or playing with a dog, nobody. The son calls his father once in a year so that there is no interaction and kind of disturbance in the relationship. In the Draupadri Vastaharan Leela, we were discussing. And now what kind of ordeal she had to go? In a civilized society, from her point of view, bringing her in the assembly itself was a great insult. Draupadi says that. Bringing in the assembly for a chaste, pure woman in that time, that itself is a nightmare. What to speak of disrobing her? And then people are talking about dharma. When she is being disrobed, all the great personalities, they talk about dharma. They are using the principle of dharma to support adharma. Including her own husband. She is looking support from them. They are not supporting. Bhishma is not supporting. Duranacharya is not supporting. Kripacharya is not supporting. A blind man will never support. Dhritarashtra. And what to speak of Duryodhan, Shakuni, Karana. They are the one, they want to see her naked. Dushyasan said, who cares? Either you are in your contaminated period, either you are in one cloth, either you are no clothes. They said, he just drags her to the public place, which she never experienced that. Especially a queen, no ordinary people would ever see. Only you see the palki. That's all. Even the palanquin carrier would not see. They will only come after she is sitting inside. They will keep down and then they will walk away. That was the purity maintained. And she was done like that. But in that condition also, Draupadi says, very interesting, very powerful. That is how relationship is so difficult. Unless both the parties. Then she says, even with this, I will not find an atomic part of fault in my husband's. She says that. And somebody mentioned, this is in the Mahabharata. He said, everybody was responsible for this fault, including their husband, her husbands. Krishna should have, just like Krishna punished everybody. He wiped out. That was the turning point. In the Mahabharata, why Krishna wanted to wipe? To prove that when women are exploited wrongly, you require to have a wiping out of the such elements. Lord Ram did with Ravan and Lord Krishna did with the Kauravas. Before that, Pandavas went through so many ordeals, but Lord did not personally take a vow. Here Lord took a vow. The Himalayan mountain may break down. The rivers and the ocean may dry. But my determination to destroy the Kurus will not stop, because they have dealt with like this. So therefore, in relationship, there is more responsibility and less enjoyment. And responsibility itself is an enjoyment. In Kali Yuga, people don't see like that. People see how much, what will I get out of him? That is what people see. Including a baby which is in the womb. They see what are the harms, what is the benefit. If it is not required, abort him, kill him. Gaurang Prabhu sent me a nice story. That one lady went to a doctor. She said, oh no, I already have a child, I want to abort. And she had carried her baby also. And the doctor looked. He said, within few months my child will be born. He said, I need to abort. And the doctor said, you know, why abort? Anyway, you have a baby. Kill this baby. One is already born. So that, you know, you'll have freedom from this child. And because another baby is in the womb, you'll have freedom from taking care of the baby for the next 6 months. He said, aapko freedom milega. That's good, the doctor said. And she was like, she said, no, I cannot do that. He said, this is my baby. He said, yes, you want one child, right? He said, kill this one and you'll have got freedom again, he repeated. You'll have freedom from this baby and that baby will be born after 6 months. He said, no, I cannot do that. So the doctor said, either killing this baby or that baby, both are horrible. So what is the difference? What is the difference? Then she understood that what she was doing was wrong. So therefore, the whole concept of relationship is about responsibility. Who told our Gaurgopapu told a story that a son wrote to his mother. He said, Mommy, I have done this much of work for you. In America, children work for their parents and they charge also. Hourly work. So he wrote, I cleaned the pots, I trimmed the lawn, you know, I did laundry, and $70 for my week's work. He sent a note to his mother. Mother took the note, turned back, and she wrote. What she wrote? She wrote, I bore you in my womb for 9 months, no charge. You passed stool and urine on my lap, no charge. In the middle of the night, you caused so much of disturbance to me. I didn't charge you. And you did so many things for me. Caused me so much of trouble. I did not charge you. And she put all it. All total, no charge. And the son received it and wrote back. Paid with full. Thank you very much, mother. That is how relationship works. Only in that basis relationship will work. Otherwise the relationship will not work. When we have expectation of enjoyment, there will be a pain. But when there is expectation of responsibility and service, only that relationship works. Therefore, Krishna, Arjuna, can you imagine for the history, eternity, Arjuna is called as Kalaibhyam. A great Kshatriya, to call such a great Kshatriya as a Hijda. Can you imagine, sometime if a guru chastises, people quit their guru also. You know, how can he say like that? He may be guru, but why should he say like that? Huh? The father says something to a son is willing to quit. How can he say like that? He may be a father, but I didn't want him to be a father. But here Krishna is calling Arjun Klaibhyam. You know, you. I don't want to repeat again and again. And it is there in the history book for the rest of eternity. As long as people read, when the beginning they read, Arjun is, you know, huh? That's the first impression. And if they stop there only, they'll go with that impression only. Sometimes people only close after first chapter or few verses. And they say, Arjun is called as Eunuch by Krishna. But still, Arjuna is willing to take it. It was very painful. And the next verse, Krishna says, you think you are intelligent, you are the fool number one. Again, that is the next verse Krishna says. So with all that kind of surgical use of words by the Lord, Arjuna kept on sitting on that chariot, willing to hear from the world. That's how relationship works. You have to continue to sit in the chariot. If your superior is there, he's going to chastise you. If you are superior to somebody, you have to tolerate them. You can't chastise. Let's see. The principle of relationship is that you don't take rights, take the responsibility. If superior is chastising you, you can't say, okay, I'll become superior and I'll also chastise. A ragging student rag other students. Rather than feeling for them, okay, I will not do it because they have gone through, they also rag. This is a vicious cycle. Now, when the parent abuse their children, when they become parent, they also abuse. That's a vicious cycle. It has to be stopped. If you had a bad authority, don't become bad authority yourself. You have gone through the pain. You know, treat others nicely. That is how rights are important. Responsibilities are important, not the rights. When you don't go through that, then you become an impersonalist. What is impersonalist? Oh, relationship is painful. Where is there relationship where there will be no fights, no disagreements, no difficulties? Naturally. We cannot say, oh, there will be no difficulties. In the Pandavas, relationship was, when Yudhishthira was gambling, Bhima was so upset and angry, he said, bring some coal, burning coal. He said, I'll burn these hands of Yudhishthira for gambling. Bhima says like that, out of anger and frustration. And Arjuna pacifies him, you cannot do like that. Now, how can you say like that? He never did. And he never divorced with his brother. I'm going. I quit. According to Manu Samhita, again, these are very difficult to practice in this age of Kali, but very powerful. He said, a property of the father cannot be divided. You cannot divide property. You cannot break into two. And that was one mistake made by, you know, Bhishma also. Again, he is acting on the orders of the Lord. That is explained in the first canto. He gave, okay, something will be ruled by the Pandavas, something will be ruled by the Kauravas. You cannot. The Shastra does not allow that. India and Pakistan, you cannot divide. You cannot divide it. It is not allowed. In the name of practicality, then what happens? You do something which is not recommended in the scripture. Similarly, relationship is also like that. When there is expectation of enjoyment, it will break down. When there is expectation of service, it will continue. Therefore, any relationship in this world which is much closer to the relationship between God and His devotees, the relationship between, used to be, some part it is there between the mother and the child. Mother and the child. Nothing. No gain. But she continues doing. Mahabharata explains, the father has the mentality of a possessor. I am the owner. Therefore, children have a very official relationship with father, especially boys. Kaisa hai, theek hai? Right? Exam kaisa hai, theek hai? You don't talk to him directly, all official. But with mother, there is a motherly, affectionate relationship. Like, who was telling me? Somebody said, one of our congregation devotee was telling. He said, mother bahut bar marti thi, lekin we didn't take it seriously. Because with father, father is also careful. And if father slaps, that's an insult. He's also saying, mother slaps, you laugh at it. But when a father slaps, it's an insult. Why? Because there is an official relationship. Because father sends those kind of signal. I'm the boss. And you are my property. I own you. Hey, mera property. Samjana? The father says like that. So there is official relationship. This is Mahabharata. Everything is there in our scripture. All management is there. All refined culture is there. Everything is there in the scripture. How to behave. How to act. That is the point. So therefore in relationship, it only works when there is no expectation. Expectation of rendering service to other party. A friendly relationship. Same thing. When the friend is exploiting each other, therefore Drupada told Dronacharya, he said, friendship? What friendship are you talking about? When Dronacharya came for asking, you know, some charity from Drona, from Drupada, you are a king, I am a poor Brahmana, we studied in the same school, therefore we are friends. He said, no, no, they are classmates. Your colleague is not your friend, he's your colleague. Your classmate is not your friend, he's a classmate. Your neighbor is not your friend, he's a neighbor. He says, Drupada tells Dronacharya, because of circumstance one becomes friend, because of some reason, and because of same such reason one becomes enemy. He said, it is all about my gain and my loss. If there is my gain, you are my friend. If it is not my gain, you are my enemy. He said, it is all about my own motivation, my dear Drona. Therefore, we can't become friends. You are a beggar, I give you something little, walk out of my kingdom. He told very honestly. What is friendship? Krishna and Sudama. That is friendship. No expectation from each party. Sudama was not expecting anything from the Lord. His wife insisted, go at least show your face to your friend. Because it is explained, he was not poverty stricken. Because he had taken a vow of poverty stricken. He had taken a vow of poverty stricken and because of that the wife had to suffer, wife and children. People take that kind of vow also. Very rare. Sudama had taken that vow. So she forced, you go. And he came to Krishna. And what did Krishna do? Krishna treated Sudama in such a way. You know, he treated him so nicely. And he said, did you bring anything for me? He said, what will I bring? What can you show when you come to a big palace? You know, you buy a t-shirt for your friend and you have a t-shirt factory only. Hundreds and thousands of variety t-shirt is manufacturing and you have purchased t-shirt from some street. He has a branded t-shirt company. How can you ever give? It's an embarrassment. What can poha, chipped rice will do to Krishna? He is the aham sarvasya prabhu. So he felt so bad. He couldn't give. And Krishna forced. He had tucked it in his waist. He took it away. Hard poha. The Lord is so delicate. Bhagavatam explains. The Acharya explains. Even a leaf falls from the tree. Falls on the body of the Lord. It becomes pinkish. Even though it's a dark blue, it becomes pinkish. That is how Krishna's body is delicate. And tongue is more delicate. And you put that dry poha. Sometime our devotees also say, chabana padta, idhar sab dard karne lagta hai, poha ka. So Krishna is eating that poha, dry poha. And he said, what tasty. And then he says, how can I repay? Krishna did not give anything to Sudama. He could have offered as a friend. And Sudama is going back home. He didn't feel, sara mission fail ho gaya. I came for asking, but he did not give anything. Kaisa friend hai, itna paisa hone par bhi kuch bhi nahi diya. He never felt like that. Bhagavatam explains, kwa daridra papyan kwa Sri Krishna Sri Niketana. He said, who is Krishna? He is the husband of goddess of fortune, and who am I? Kwa papi daridra. He said, I am the lowest of the poverty stricken. And even, I am not even a Brahmana. He said, I am only related to a Brahmana. I am a fallen Brahmana, but still, what a good fortune, the Lord embraced me. He continuously was remembering this only, Sudama, when he was going home. And he lost all exhaustion of coming and going. You can imagine when you go for some mission, and the mission fails, you don't get anything. Usko bhi gali dete ho, apni journey ko bhi gali dete ho. बिगिनिंग को भी गाली देते हो, सोचते किसका मुंह देखा था पता नहीं, यू गिव बैड वर्ड्स ऑल्सो. सुदामो को डेसेट पता नहीं मेरी वाइफ ही इनऑस्पिशियस है, माई चिल्ड्रन आर इनऑस्पिशियस, द गार्ड्स आर इनऑस्पिशियस, माई जर्नी इज इनऑस्पिशियस. Rather, he was simply glorifying, remembering, just see, Krishna is so great, and I am so fallen. But he embraced me. When he came there, what did he see? He saw the palace. The whole poverty-stricken, you know, that hut had transformed into a beautiful palace. His wife and children had transformed. And one acharya explains why Krishna did not transform Sudama into a gorgeous, beautiful person. Because it was easier for Sudama to see his wife and accept. Because if Sudama's wife would see like that, "Are, where is my husband?" she would immediately put her head down and not see only. And reject him as being her husband. See, there also culture is there. She said, "I will." So therefore Krishna kept Sudama as he was, but changed his wife and changed the palace so that Sudama can recognize eventually. Sudama's wife can recognize and she can say, "No, no, I'm your wife. And you are the Sudama Brahmana." See, Lord is thinking in so many points of view. I can't repay. That is a relationship. Therefore, relationship, friendship, the pure friendship can only be established with Krishna. And based upon that relationship, we can extend to other people. But if you start relationship in the mundane world and Krishna is not there, that relationship will have no value. It will not sustain and survive. So therefore, this is some lesson from the Shastras about friendship, about relationship, and therefore this friends, Arjuna and Krishna. Just see, what a relationship. The Lord is willing to drive the chariot, being ordered by his devotee, being taught by devotee also. He is teaching Krishna what is wrong and what is right. And Krishna is listening. But eventually saying, Klaibhyam, for eternal. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.